Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Тексты прозвучат 2 раза. После каждого прослушивания текстов у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер 1. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего A, F и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только 1 раз. В задании есть 1 лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись 2. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
In my opinion, taxis are one of the best ways to get around in a city. Not only do they offer you door-to-door service, but also allow you to avoid traffic congestion and other delays that come with public transportation. Taxi drivers are very knowledgeable about traffic laws, so you reach the destination early. They will often take shortcuts that other vehicles won't use. They also tend to be more flexible than public transport options with their hours of operation.
Speaker B.
When I come to a new place, I never use public transport for some days. I like to go by taxi at the beginning of my trip to some city because taxi drivers are very familiar with the city they drive in. They have knowledge of good places to eat and visits while on vacation that may not be well known by tourists. I always ask taxi drivers to give me some recommendations, and it really helps me to get to know the city inside out. Taxi drivers are better than any guidebook.
Speaker C.
Some of my friends prefer to use public transport, saying that it's very expensive to get around using a taxi. However, I cannot agree with them here. When you get a taxi, you get a door-to-door service, which is very convenient. It's worth paying extra for it, isn't it? Besides, if you share a taxi with your relatives or friends, the fare will not be much higher than, say, the bus fare. One more point is that major taxi companies now try to keep the prices down to attract customers.
Speaker D. If you ask me, well, I rarely use taxis because the taxi fares are unreasonably high. I'm a student and I can't afford to take a taxi even once a week. Of course, when I have a late flight and I cannot use any public transport to get to the airport, I still have to call for a taxi, but otherwise I stick to buses. I understand that taxis are both fast and convenient, but for the time being I have to use public transport. I do wish taxis were much cheaper than they are now. Speaker E.
I try not to go by taxi if I can help it. Oftentimes, taxi drivers have old car models without air conditioning. In this case, you run the risk of overheating during peak summer heat waves or freezing during winter cold snaps. Moreover, you have no idea how clean the vehicle is, and you risk getting an infection. Besides, many taxi drivers in big cities are immigrants. A language barrier with drivers may increase the cost of your trip and create some inconvenience for you.
Speaker F.
Whenever I can, I use a taxi and stay away from any means of public transport. In my opinion, it's dangerous to use public transport in big cities. There are many road accidents connected with public transport, whereas the statistics for taxis is much better. Besides, when you use any kind of public transport, you can catch a virus or just become involved in some conflict. Because there are many people on buses and in the underground, so I stick to taxis.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
In my opinion, taxis are one of the best ways to get around in a city. Not only do they offer you door-to-door service, but also allow you to avoid traffic congestion and other delays that come with public transportation. Taxi drivers are very knowledgeable about traffic laws, so you reach the destination early. They will often take shortcuts that other vehicles won't use. They also tend to be more flexible than public transport options with their hours of operation.
Speaker B.
When I come to a new place, I never use public transport for some days. I like to go by taxi at the beginning of my trip to some city because taxi drivers are very familiar with the city they drive in. They have knowledge of good places to eat and visit while on vacation that may not be well known by tourists. I always ask taxi drivers to give me some recommendations, and it really helps me to get to know the city inside out. Taxi drivers are better than any guidebook.
Speaker C.
Some of my friends prefer to use public transport, saying that it's very expensive to get around using a taxi. However, I cannot agree with them here. When you get a taxi, you get a door-to-door service, which is very convenient. It's worth paying extra for it, isn't it? Besides, if you share a taxi with your relatives or friends, the fare will not be much higher than, say, the bus fare. One more point is that major taxi companies now try to keep the prices down to attract customers.
Speaker D. If you ask me, well, I rarely use taxis because the taxi fares are unreasonably high. I'm a student, and I can't afford to take a taxi even once a week. Of course, when I have a late flight and I cannot use any public transport to get to the airport, I still have to call for a taxi, but otherwise, I stick to buses. I understand that taxis are both fast and convenient, but for the time being, I have to use public transport. I do wish taxis were much cheaper than they are now. Speaker E.
I try not to go by taxi if I can help it. Oftentimes, taxi drivers have old car models without air conditioning. In this case, you run the risk of overheating during peak summer heat waves or freezing during winter cold snaps. Moreover, you have no idea how clean the vehicle is, and you risk getting an infection. Besides, many taxi drivers in big cities are immigrants. A language barrier with drivers may increase the cost of your trip and create some inconvenience for you.
Speaker F.
Whenever I can, I use a taxi and stay away from any means of public transport. In my opinion, it's dangerous to use public transport in big cities. There are many road accidents connected with public transport, whereas the statistics for taxis is much better. Besides, when you use any kind of public transport, you can catch a virus or just become involved in some conflict. Because there are many people on buses and in the underground, so I stick to taxis.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A-G соответствуют содержанию текста 1. True. Какие не соответствуют 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано, То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start.
Hi, Jack. You look so deep in your thoughts. What's the matter?
Oh, hi, Mia. I'm thinking about my social studies project. The teacher has asked us to do a project on any international movement which helps farmers and workers in developing countries.
That's a challenging task indeed. Do you have any ideas?
I'm at a loss. I don't know what I can do my project about.
Well, if you need a helping hand, I'm here for you.
Really? You're a star, Mia. I know you watch documentaries quite often. Maybe you can give me just a small hint as to what can be interesting to write about. You know our social studies teacher. She is very demanding. She'll never ever give me a good mark if my project topic is trivial.
Why not do a project about fair trade?
Fair trade? What is it? That word doesn't even ring a bell to me.
Basically, that's an international movement which aims at making sure that companies pay a fair price for the goods farmers in developing countries produce.
That sounds interesting. Could you please tell me a bit more about this movement?
You see, farmers in developing countries are often not able to send their children to school because they don't earn enough money. The movement wants these kids to go to school. If farmers join the movement, they get fair prices and can buy school books for their kids.
How does it work? Does Fairtrade have inspectors who check the businesses?
Yes, it does. They follow the food route from the farm to the customer to make sure fair prices are paid at each stage.
Is the movement only about food?
As far as I know, the movement is constantly growing. It may include clothes made from cotton and things like that.
Is there such a movement here in the UK?
In fact, the supermarket on Green Street has fair trade products. You can go there and interview the managers to get more information. You may also take some pictures there.
It's great that I can buy fair trade products in my city and become a part of this movement.
I hope you'll get an excellent mark for your project.
Thanks, Mia. I think I should go home now and get started with it. I'm so grateful to you. Can I invite you to the cinema at the weekend? It's my way of saying thank you.
Oh, Jack, I'd love to go to the cinema. There's a new comedy on. Shall we see it?
It's a date, then. You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
Hi, Jack. You look so deep in your thoughts. What's the matter?
Oh, hi, Mia. I'm thinking about my social studies project. The teacher has asked us to do a project on any international movement which helps farmers and workers in developing countries.
That's a challenging task indeed. Do you have any ideas?
I'm at a loss. I don't know what I can do my project about.
Well, if you need a helping hand, I'm here for you.
Really? You're a star, Mia. I know you watch documentaries quite often. Maybe you can give me just a small hint as to what can be interesting to write about. You know our social studies teacher. She is very demanding. She'll never ever give me a good mark if my project topic is trivial.
Why not do a project about fair trade?
Fair trade? What is it? That word doesn't even ring a bell to me.
Basically, that's an international movement which aims at making sure that companies pay a fair price for the goods farmers in developing countries produce.
That sounds interesting. Could you please tell me a bit more about this movement?
You see, farmers in developing countries are often not able to send their children to school because they don't earn enough money. The movement wants these kids to go to school. If farmers join the movement, they get fair prices and can buy school books for their kids.
How does it work? Does Fairtrade have inspectors who check the businesses?
Yes, it does. They follow the food route from the farm to the customer to make sure fair prices are paid at each stage.
Is the movement only about food?
As far as I know, the movement is constantly growing. It may include clothes made from cotton and things like that.
Is there such a movement here in the UK?
In fact, the supermarket on Green Street has fair trade products. You can go there and interview the managers to get more information. You may also take some pictures there.
It's great that I can buy fair trade products in my city and become a part of this movement.
I hope you'll get an excellent mark for your project.
Thanks, Mia. I think I should go home now and get started with it. I'm so grateful to you. Can I invite you to the cinema at the weekend? It's my way of saying thank you.
Oh, Jack, I'd love to go to the cinema. There's a new comedy on. Shall we see it?
It's a date, then.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Hello, everybody. And here we are with our weekly program, 5 Minutes with a Star. Today in our studio, we have Edward Silver, one of the greatest living high-altitude mountaineers and the fifth person to climb all 14 of the 8,000-meter peaks without supplementary oxygen. He's climbed Mount Everest 7 times. Good afternoon, Edward.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure being here.
What qualities do you think are necessary to achieve what you've achieved?
I have to say that this was a personal journey. It was something that I truly loved. And I think if you're passionate about something and self-motivated, those are the key ingredients. Mountaineering is never easy. And based on my personality, I embrace the challenges. I understood from the very beginning that it wasn't me that was going to be in control of what happened. It's the mountains. If conditions are good, then we're allowed to go to a summit. And if conditions are not good, then we have to go home and try again. It had to do with being patient.
How do you deal with the disappointment of having to stop summiting after months of preparation?
The higher you go and the closer you get to your goal, the harder it becomes. I changed my attitude. On my first trip to Everest, we made the final attempt to go to the summit, and we were stopped 300 feet from the top because we felt the conditions were beyond our control. They were deteriorating. The weather was worsening. I was actually climbing with one of my mentors, Eric, and he had taught me an important lesson. Getting to the summit is not obligatory. Getting down is obligatory. Obviously, I was disappointed that we didn't go all the way to the summit. But it wasn't our fault. If you don't come home, it's not worth it. Sometimes people lose sight of that. You know, ambition overcomes common sense.
What is more challenging in the process of climbing an 8,000-meter mountain, overcoming the physical or the psychological obstacles?
I'd have to say both, because they go hand in hand. Clearly, the physical demands are tremendous. You have to have strength, and you have to have endurance. A lot of these expeditions can last for 3 months, and from the minute you set foot on that mountain. In many cases, you're not getting stronger, you're actually slowly consuming yourself. You're deteriorating because you're climbing at extreme altitudes. You're not eating as well, and you're using more calories per day than you're regenerating. So the endurance has to be there.
What about psychological issues?
Of course they are there. When you go high, especially without oxygen, the mental fortitude is huge. Because you're pushing yourself to do something that your body doesn't want to do. You're suffering, you're hurting. You're climbing very, very slowly and thinking, oh, I'm not even getting close to the summit.
What does it feel like standing on the summit after a hard journey?
It's an amazing moment of complete satisfaction and knowing you've accomplished your goal. I've taken a lot of amateur climbers to the mountains, and what I love to see is the change that occurs when they push themselves. They do something physically and mentally they would never have done otherwise. And when you see them standing at the top of one of those peaks, you can see how they've changed.
Thank you very much, Edward. It has been very interesting talking to you.
Thank you.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the text again.
Hello, everybody. And here we are with our weekly program, 5 Minutes with a Star. Today in our studio, we have Edward Silver, one of the greatest living high-altitude mountaineers and the fifth person to climb all 14 of the 8,000-meter peaks without supplementary oxygen. He's climbed Mount Everest 7 times. Good afternoon, Edward.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure being here.
What qualities do you think are necessary to achieve what you've achieved?
I have to say that this was a personal journey. It was something that I truly loved. And I think if you're passionate about something and self-motivated, those are the key ingredients. Mountaineering is never easy. And based on my personality, I embrace the challenges. I understood from the very beginning that it wasn't me that was going to be in control of what happened. It's the mountains. If conditions are good, then we're allowed to go to a summit. And if conditions are not good, then we have to go home and try again. It had to do with being patient.
How do you deal with the disappointment of having to stop summiting after months of preparation?
The higher you go and the closer you get to your goal, the harder it becomes. I changed my attitude. On my first trip to Everest, we made the final attempt to go to the summit, and we were stopped 300 feet from the top because we felt the conditions were beyond our control. They were deteriorating. The weather was worsening. I was actually climbing with one of my mentors, Eric, and he had taught me an important lesson. Getting to the summit is not obligatory. Getting down is obligatory. Obviously, I was disappointed that we didn't go all the way to the summit. But it wasn't our fault. If you don't come home, it's not worth it. Sometimes people lose sight of that. You know, ambition overcomes common sense.
What is more challenging in the process of climbing an 8,000-meter mountain, overcoming the physical or the psychological obstacles?
I'd have to say both, because they go hand in hand. Clearly, the physical demands are tremendous. You have to have strength, and you have to have endurance. A lot of these expeditions can last for 3 months, and from the minute you set foot on that mountain. In many cases, you're not getting stronger, you're actually slowly consuming yourself. You're deteriorating because you're climbing at extreme altitudes. You're not eating as well, and you're using more calories per day than you're regenerating. So the endurance has to be there.
What about psychological issues?
Of course they are there. When you go high, especially without oxygen, the mental fortitude is huge. Because you're pushing yourself to do something that your body doesn't want to do. You're suffering, you're hurting. You're climbing very, very slowly and thinking, oh, I'm not even getting close to the summit.
What does it feel like standing on the summit after a hard journey?
It's an amazing moment of complete satisfaction and knowing you've accomplished your goal. I've taken a lot of amateur climbers to the mountains, and what I love to see is the change that occurs when they push themselves. They do something physically and mentally they would never have done otherwise. And when you see them standing at the top of one of those peaks, you can see how they've changed.
Thank you very much, Edward. It has been very interesting talking to you.
Thank you.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.